Our final scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, and I will be reading verses 18 through 25. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to just dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, Christmas can be the most frustrating time of year. I want everything to be perfect. I want my sermons to be meaningful and full of Christmas cheer, and I want for the decorating and all the Christmas shopping to happen in time, perhaps even early for once. I want to have the time to drink in the holiness of this season. But I'm afraid December feels a lot more like an out-of-control freight train gathering speed as it goes downhill. And I find myself frantically scurrying from one thing to the next, and I sleep less and less as I try to get more and more accomplished. I noticed even the lectionary passages in the Gospels has given into this Christmas rush, because suddenly we're not talking about Jesus coming again. We're not talking about watching and waiting, as have been our Advent traditions. We've just jumped right into the heart of the Christmas story. I so much want December, this season of Advent, really to be a peaceful, perfect time. But I'm learning that's not really very realistic. I mean, that first Christmas was probably anything but peaceful and perfect. It was actually a time of great turmoil and devastation. A pregnant teenager with a story about who the baby's father is that no one in his or her right mind would have believed. And her betrothed now debating the best way to divorce her. Friends, Jerry Springer couldn't have written a juicier story. Someone who is a much better writer than I once wrote that the nativity story is both a wonder and a scandal. And somehow we managed to hang on to the wonder of the nativity story, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay and all that. But I'm afraid we forget about the scandal behind it all. I think you could actually make a pretty good case that the word scandalous might just be one of the best words to describe God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. King David, who was the apple of God's eye, maybe you know the story of when he danced with joy wildly and with great abandon as the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into the city, and his wife, Michal, was horrified at his very undignified display, particularly because David was not dressed as properly as he should have been, and yet he was the apple of God's eye. It was scandalous what David did. God commanded the prophet Hosea to marry a prostitute and to start a family with her as a living and a breathing example and illustration of God's unfailing love for his unfaithful people. That was a scandal. And now in today's story, we meet Joseph, who faces the dilemma of a pregnant fiancé with a truly unbelievable story. He suspects her to be an adulterer, which in biblical times was automatic grounds for divorce, but in the Old Testament is also named as a capital offense. It's a scandalous situation, to say the least. But the scandal doesn't end there. For Joseph, who Matthew calls a righteous man, decides to ignore Jewish custom and law and to marry Mary anyway, after being visited by an angel of the Lord in a dream. There is no doubt that this raised the eyebrows of many in Joseph's time, and that the rumor mill was probably working overtime, debating and spreading the news of Joseph's decision. So what we have here is actually scandal on top of scandal on top of scandal. So the truth is that behind the pretty nativity scene that we like to think about at Christmas lies this great wonder of God who became flesh. But it's also this scandalous birth of a Savior who has no problem conversing with prostitutes, touching dead bodies and bleeding women, interacting with lepers, and eating with sinners. This is the Jesus Matthew sets before us, the one who is unconcerned with the scandal he causes by living God's law of love for others. But remember, before Joseph can get to this point of being willing to endure the scandal, he is himself scandalized by Mary's news, and all he can think of is doing the right thing and how to get himself untangled from this mess that has cropped up around him. And I suspect that we're a lot like Joseph sometimes. We generally do what society expects us to do, and we go about our business not making any trouble, not making any waves, handling things quietly, no muss and no fuss. That was what Joseph wanted to do. He had his plan to quietly divorce Mary, and we have our plan too, a plan to be obedient and righteous, no scandals, no rumors. But Joseph quickly found out that sometimes God's plan for us is at odds with what society expects of us and what the rules say. Joseph discovers that sometimes the faithful thing to do and the faithful way to be are at odds with social conventions and traditions And maybe even with our own expectations. But there is always the promise for Joseph and for us. There is always the promise of something wonderful that comes after that. The promise that something more is at stake when we follow God's plan. But it's a frightening thing. It's frightening to feel the Spirit nudging us to do something that we don't understand, and something completely out of the blue, and maybe even something that is completely unacceptable to society, to our friends, to our families. Certainly that's the case with Joseph, who needs a little extra convincing to go ahead and do this thing that he does not understand. He needs a little convincing not to walk away from God's plan. As one writer says, he is totally unaware of the journey that will take the one he will call Jesus from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, from the temple to the cross, to the empty tomb. If Joseph were told all of that, if God had let him in on the whole big plan, the news might overwhelm him even more than the news he had just received. And he might have said, "Thanks, but no thanks, God. Not interested." So instead, God sends him an angel, who basically says to him this: "Look, I know this isn't what you expected, Joseph, but it's going to be okay. God is about to do something wonderful to you and through you, despite the fact that according to Jewish custom and law, you are in a, well, socially unacceptable position right now." And in the end, Joseph chooses to let go of fear and shame, and he embraces the scandal. He is convinced that unexpected things and things outside of the normal conventions, they can actually be wonderful signs that God is at work. And he knows that in this scandal of sorts, there is something bigger going on. One of my favorite songs, sung by a group called Sixpence None the Richer, says this: "At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white on that beautiful, scandalous night." It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus' birth was cloaked in scandal, because his death certainly was. This is the Jesus Matthew sets before us, one who was born on a beautiful, scandalous night, one who lived a beautiful, scandalous life, and one who died on a beautiful, scandalous night. And in this season of Advent, as we watch for him to come again, Jesus is inviting us into that same kind of beautiful, scandalous life as we wait. The kind of life that cares more for God's commands than society's conventions. One that is willing to love the unlovables and touch the untouchables. To live this kind of life is to believe that God is at work in the world, and that you want to be a sign of that for others. And it means embracing awkward situations and unexpected situations, and maybe even embracing scandal in the eyes of the world, knowing that there is something bigger, something wonderful going on in God's divine plan that you just can't see right now. To live a beautiful, scandalous life is to put your pride aside and to risk your heart. To risk a very piece of yourself in order to love someone else, someone different, one of those people, whoever that is to you. And it means to love with a beautiful, scandalous love, like the woman who scandalously bathed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and anointed them with oil. In a world where we are consumed by achieving the perfect Christmas and attaining the perfect life and displaying the perfect image for the world to see, we are reminded again and again by the Apostle Paul and Leonard Cohen that there is a crack in everything. Even our most perfect facade. And the good news is that is how the light, the beautiful, scandalous light of Christ gets in, through a life of scandalous love that is lived at odds with what society expects of us, and maybe even what we expect of ourselves. But a life which is part of God's divine plan of salvation. It is in this season of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ that God announces to us and to the world that there is a different way to live, a way which values people over power and generosity over success and being a servant of all. Particularly in this season of Advent, we are invited to live in this different way and to worship a scandalous Savior who beckons us to trust and to obey and to follow. But there is no need to fear, for what is scandalous in the eyes of the world is simply self-giving love in God's eyes. Joseph and Mary had absolutely no idea what they were getting themselves into. They had no idea where God was going to take them. All they knew was that something wonderful had been promised and that they had been beckoned to follow. This whole story of this beautiful and scandalous night, which we will celebrate together on Christmas Eve. That is our call, as followers of a scandalous Savior, to embrace a little bit of scandal on our part, knowing that when God calls us to do sometimes strange and unexpected things in His name, there is always the promise of something wonderful waiting for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.